Hello everyone and welcome to a new episode of the Game Art Talk podcast. Morien Ohneiser is my guest today. Hey Morien, happy to have you here.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Hey. How's it going? So you are a German, not living in Germany, so how did that happen?
Well, I'm currently not in Germany, but like 2 years ago, I was like living in Germany all my life. And then like since COVID ended, I was finally able to travel around. So,
all right.
Yeah, took the opportunity to like travel around and see stuff.
So you just, you are on the Philippines, you told me?
Yeah, I'm currently in the Philippines. Yeah.
So you're working, like, you are a remote worker from around the world and going on the Philippines. Are there any next destinations?
No, I'm staying, like, it's sort of my home base because my girlfriend is Filipino.
And there you go. Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I go to other countries. I visited Korea, like, I think two months ago. So,
oh, how was it?
Like, it's really nice. Like, I don't know. I always wanted to go to Korea and Japan, but
yeah,
just never able to.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's like really inspiring. Like, there's like so much new things see.
It's like another world, right?
Yeah.
We are going in November to Japan, so I'm really looking forward to that trip.
Yes.
All right. Let's introduce yourself. So how old are you? Where are you from? We already know that. What is going on in your life at the moment?
I mean, I'm 27, so...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm living in the Philippines right now, and I'm working as a freelancer. Mostly still material art. I would say it's like half-half. Like, it's half is like material and textures, and then the other one is like product renders, like 3D animations, those sort of things. Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah, how did it go with, you are doing lots of stuff in visualization, right? Like product visualization. So, what are your main products that you're visualizing to kind of get a better understanding of what is your day to day business?
I mean, for the product visualization, it tends to be like mostly either like electronics or fabrics. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just because like some of the projects that I had previously, clients see them and then they want to have something similar, or they just like, they tend to like hire people that already have something similar in the portfolio. So, yeah.
All right, so this is your main products that you are visualizing.
The one on my LinkedIn and some of my website and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like a big part of what I still do is still like materials and textures. And that's also, I think, one of my strengths, like compared to other people that do product visuals, that I really focus on like the details and the textures.
Taking a look at your materials, man, they look so like, they look super realistic. They're, I would say, hyper realistic. They're perfect for product visualization, like where you need to see every like small little detail and you want to have the product as realistic as possible.
I think that's like my main focus usually, like have it as realistic as possible.
Mm-hmm. So how do you achieve that? Like, are you taking lots of references, or what is like your workflow in that case?
Like one thing is like having like, it's usually not like having a lot of references. It's usually having like good reference, like trying to have like references from the same, like, material, like don't take from different sources. And then it's just having like multiple like distances, like a close up, like a medium shot, and then just keep working on it until it looks like the reference.
So you like grind out the details more and more till you get your final texture that you're satisfied with.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like doing like a painting or something. Like you start out with like the basic shapes or like sculpting. It's very similar. Like you block it out and then you refine it like further and further. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you enjoy the most? Like what materials do you enjoy mostly doing?
Recently, like organic stuff. Like I recently did some like for like a marmoset, which was like an avocado, lemon.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, like those were really fun
Yeah.
because I got to like take the lemon in my hand and then like look at it and then like put it into like substance.
Yeah, they are fun, but I think they are the hardest ones, right?
Yeah,
I
like
know.
yeah,
Like
it's
organic
like
stuff, the human eye can really tell if it's right or wrong.
yeah.
Yeah. All
It's
right,
the
so I
small
just
things.
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just took a look at your LinkedIn and I see that you have been working as an environment artist in your beginning. So how did that happen? Like maybe we can speak about your starting of your whole career.
I mean, when I started out like doing 3D, like really at the beginning, I was like I worked in Blender, not doing anything texturing or something. That was before uni. Like I was just doing it as a hobby. And then in uni, I started to shift towards like game art and environment art. And yeah, like I just grinded there, like I just learned a lot in uni, like about environment art and game art. And then I got into it. Like I got a job.
Yeah, it's like your first professional job was at Polygon, right?
Like professional, like as sort of like a real job before I
Yeah.
worked as like an intern for like a real game art company.
Yeah, Black Forest Games, right?
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah, so yeah, as we both worked for Polygon, maybe we can speak about that. How did you like? We never worked with each other, right? No, we
Yeah,
didn't.
like no, we didn't. We passed like I think I worked like 1 year or half a year before
1.5 year, yeah.
you. Yeah, I got the job. Like I was like at that time I was still working as an intern in at Black Forest Games. And then I don't remember how, I think it was on ArtStation, I saw a job opening for the position. And then I just applied for it and had to do an art test. And then they said I performed really well on the art test. And that's how I got the job, basically.
Yeah, so I think this has been a huge learning phase for you as well, right? Because with Polygon, you really need to crank out lots of textures at the time. And
Yeah.
I think it's really good to sharpen your skills, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like Polygon was the first like real job. Like I really learned a lot. Like I think I really grew a lot as like an artist. Both like on like the art side and like the personal side, like the management and those sort of things, like how to deal with feedback and all those sort of things.
And also Andrew is like he's not only a fantastic artist and yeah content creator, he's also a great human. I really really enjoyed working with him.
Yeah.
He's super nice.
So
Yeah.
what did
What
you
I
like?
did I was like a texture manager, so I was like a bit of a lead in that case. I was like leading three artists. It was like Matt, Vinicius, and who was the third one? I never could remember his name. Leonid. He's a beast. And I was like managing the whole process from start to finish, like giving feedback and making sure the files are all like named correctly and time frames are met and deadlines are met, like all this kind of what a lead is doing. really enjoyed it, but after 1 year, I told myself I want to do like art again. I want to be an artist and not just leading and managing, because I'm an artist at heart, and I want to like, yeah, go out again and do create something.
Yeah, I think that's like an issue. Right. A lot of people, like, they don't want to take on a lead role because it's like more of a management role.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Have you ever thought about that in that case, like doing leading or like managing stuff?
I think I would like to have like giving feedback and like sort of like teaching the younger ones. I think that's what something would be interesting for me. Not so much the management side.
Yeah, yeah. And also being like able to create, to contribute something to the project as well, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I also saw that you are like a co-founder of a company called Design Sushi at the moment. Like, what is that about? The logo looks super, super cute.
I just started that like recently with my brother. And my brother's doing like web design mostly, and then and we just wanted to do something together like for a while already. And it's basically like mostly like an all-in-one design, like it's like a subscription based. And I'm basically taking on some of the design and mostly all of the 3D for the project.
Nice. So what is the vision on that? Like, you wanna get as many people on the subscription service, or like, are you also looking for like project based work?
Yeah, I mean, what we recently, like before, we always used to work on project based, and it's really hard to estimate sometimes. Like if you actually ROIing, like if you're actually gonna make money with the project or not. Yeah, and then a lot of clients they tend to say they just want like 2 or 3 revisions, but then they want like 10 or something.
And they pay for 3.
Yeah, and they pay for 3. And like we wanna deliver like the best service, like the best like outcome for the client. And with the subscription, it kind of gets rid of that, like the unnecessary, like, back and forth, like, we want some revisions, but we don't want to pay for it. So it kind of gets rid of that whole thing. And you kind of have, like, you can focus more on actually, like, creating good work for your clients. So, like, both are happy.
Yeah, that's a good approach to avoid that like revision cycle. And
I mean, I think I've learned a lot from like past clients. Like it's always like there's always like some issue. Like you always learn something new. Like you take on a new client, and there's like so many new things that you learn, like the business side.
That's true.
I think you probably also know that since you work like freelance also, right?
Yeah, I think you kind of you need to get a feeling on like how to charge and what to give and what to get out of it. It's that fight. It's that small little line that you need to hit, which is super hard, and you need to get experience to find that line.
Yeah.
So yeah, how do you enjoy being a freelancer? Like, have you been like a full time worker before as an environment artist and an intern? And how did you enjoy like the step of like being a freelancer? Because for me, the step was pretty huge, because it changes like everything, not everything, but it changes like your the job you're doing on a day to day basis.
Yeah, I mean, for me, from like when I worked like in the house, like as a normal like employee, I really didn't like it. Like for me, like working that like the 8 to 5 or whatever is like I can't concentrate if someone's like lingering behind me, like looking at what I'm working on and stuff like that.
Can
And
relate.
then yeah, and then I tend to work like split up. Like I usually work in the morning and then I work like late at night, and that
Yeah.
it doesn't align with like how most companies work.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I got into freelancing.
Yeah. When I like the thing when I started out being a freelancer, I worked way more than being like a full-time employee at a company. But I
Yeah.
think it didn't feel that hard for me because I don't know, I was at home, I was in my office where nobody was like nobody was telling me every time what to do, or I didn't get distractions. And so it didn't feel like an 8 or 12 hour day. And it was not
Yeah.
that exhausting, like being in an office with 20 other people and working only 8 hours, if you're even working 8 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. I
All
think
right, so if...
also,
Go
yeah,
ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I think also something like with the, like when I started out, I was the same as you. Like I used like the first year, like where I worked at Polygon, I really only worked on the work because I think that was my first like real like business year, like as like a freelancer, like being like self-employed. And then I only like worked, like I just did textures all day. And then after that year, I realized that there's like way more to it, like being a freelancer. Like you have to file your taxes, you have to like record all of your expenses, and there's like so many other things that come with it.
Yeah, that you in the first moment you are not thinking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also like it affects you. Like if you think your hourly rate is high, it most likely isn't, because you probably have to add like 50% on top for like all of the other like
Yeah,
time that you need.
insurances and
Yeah.
man, insurances is the one, like this was the hardest point for me to not go as a freelancer because I was so afraid, like because insurances in Germany are super expensive.
Yeah.
And yet the money needs to keep coming in because you can't pay the insurances and
Yeah.
you need to charge more. And maybe you are not getting the job because you charge too much. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it's really hard. But yeah, you can also now work from the Philippines, and you have your, you can live with your girlfriend, and you enjoy, the Philippines and have a great life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still registered in Germany, so I still pay German tax,
German taxes.
still pay German health insurance, plus like the travel health insurance. So like I'm still paying the expensive Germany tax and everything, but the life is over here is a lot cheaper.
The living costs are really low, I imagine. I
Yeah,
haven't
it's
been there,
like
but
half.
okay, this is great. Good for you. So where do you live in Germany? Like
I live in
Baden-Württemberg?
I live in Baden-Württemberg, like a small city. That's where I also grew up. So I was there almost my whole life. Like I grew there up. I went to uni there also. And yeah, also got my first like real job there.
Nice. Yeah. So you have been to uni. Like, would you recommend any young artist starting to go there, or would you say you can do this all by your own and go with YouTube tutorials and buy cheap tutorials? They don't cost as much as uni and your expenses.
I mean, if for the skills, like the actual skills, you for sure don't need to go to uni. Like for me, I learned, I think, like almost everything by myself as well. I didn't study like 3D in uni. My course was more like filmmaking. And like for like if you like if you're an organized person that like will follow everything, like will follow the plans and stuff, it's for sure easier and better to just learn it on your own. But I think there are some people, they just work better if there's like a plan. And they work in like they work better with other people.
I know. You would say I would say that in uni you have more like a bit of an organized thing, but it doesn't go that deep, I would say. Maybe I'm wrong. But for people that are like that have a hard time to stick to a plan or to stick to a structure, this can be pretty beneficial. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but you for sure have to, like either one that you're gonna do, you have to learn on your own. Like just going to
Absolutely.
uni will not get you a job.
So are you interested going back into game art, as you have been already made your small little steps in, like the beginning of your career was in game art. So do you see yourself again?
I mean, I'm interested in it. The like there's like two issues with it. Like I actually applied to some game art jobs like in the last few years, and I got some offers, but most of them they don't tend to accept me because like obviously I didn't work the past few years in game art, so they're most likely like they choose someone that has already experience like in their eyes with Unreal and everything. And what's the second reason?
Overtime, crunch time.
Yeah, I think yeah, I mean also the issue is with like working like you're really like you're gonna be like a really specific role. Most jobs are gonna be on site.
Yeah,
And
that's also a case, yeah.
yeah, and then also I like for me I like to work on like a wide array of things. Like I like being like that's why I like being self-employed because I don't just work or like learn on just like the texture side of things. Like you have to go like learn like I don't know sales and whatever.
Yeah, completely understandable. So where do you set, like, how would you, how you want to be developing further? Like, what is your, what are your next step if it's not game art? Like, how are you planning? How do you see yourself in the future?
I mean, that's what I'm trying to like sort of gap the bridge more in between the textures and like the product visualization, and go more towards like those sort of stuff like design, product visualization, because there isn't a lot of people out there doing that combination.
That's
So
true. Yeah.
yeah, I think I'll stick out a decent bit.
Yeah. And as a freelancer, you have to stick out in a bit, like in any,
Yeah.
you need to focus on something and get good at it.
Yeah, because there's so many like when I think when I started out doing textures and materials, like there wasn't that much yet. Like I think the role just like started being like existing. Like there wasn't like the material artist role didn't really exist before.
True.
And then it sort of developed, and then I feel like now there's a lot of people that are doing material and textures, but the roles are like really like there's really little roles.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, like, what are you doing at Marmoset? I see that you are also employed as a material artist working for them on a freelance basis. So what are you doing there? Are you creating materials?
Yeah, it's a very like it's basically very similar to what I worked at Polygon. Like they have a library inside the that role, like inside Marmoset. And
Yeah.
it's basically like textures and smart materials, like very similar to what Substance Painter is, like has, and then with
Yeah.
their like library. The only difference is it's like it's all free, it's all included in the whole package.
Yeah, I see that Marmoset is a bit going more into texture, like texturing,
Yeah.
and not staying the full rendering software
Yeah,
or
I
baking.
think, yeah. I think that's what they're, like, that's what they used to know before. Like, also when I started out using Marmoset, I just used it for, like, baking and then, like showcasing your props or materials.
Yeah, which they are doing great. But yeah, Substance Painter now. I tried some baking in Substance Painter for some quick, baking workflows. And I have to say that Substance Painter is maybe having a comeback as a tech, as a baking software. But still, Marmoset is my go-to in that case.
Yeah, I think like the main reason why it's like the whole like Adobe subscription debate, like people like just like some people just hate subscriptions, so they'd rather pick Marmoset.
Yeah, Marmoset is still like one time buy, right?
They have a subscription, but there is a one time buy, and then it's like I think it's like limited to like like a version or something, not sure.
Yeah. I'm still like I think I have the one time buy, which I'm super happy about, not adding extra subscription fees, which are already pretty high as an artist, as you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like,
if you're not working with Blender.
Yeah. What are you using?
I use Maya and ZBrush.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
And those are,
it's just like Sorry?
Yeah, those are like both pretty like huge fees, like just for like having the software.
Yeah, yeah. I tell myself to go to Blender for like 1.5 years now and never really make it because I have a low frustration tolerance, and then I go back to Maya when something is not working in Blender as I want it to be, and then I go back to Maya and it just works, and I'm like, ah, that's fine. I got what I wanted to have.
I understand that, but I mean, I think for most studios, you still need to use Maya. Like, they have their inbuilt like pipeline, right? So.
Yeah, but I would say like for some projects I worked on, I was the only one that worked on Maya, and everyone else was doing Blender, and yeah, in the end, it's just the FBX that is like thrown into the game engine, and nobody cares if it's like from Maya or Blender. But I would say for animation, like I think Naughty Dog or like lots of PlayStation studios are working all with Maya, and I can imagine they have loads of like scripts and workflows and stuff that is all working in Maya. And I can imagine that Blender is not gonna find its way into that niche. But
I know, like I know some studios, they really have specifically, you have to import it into Maya, and then it has like it's gonna go through like a script, and then it gets exported. So like you sort of have to like know the basics, and then some companies really mind if you use like different software because like the files get shared around.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am. I just going over your LinkedIn, and I see that you are always creating new stuff. Like when I think in your free time, you are doing lots of research and lots of like experimentations, and like how do you motivate yourself after doing that? Like how do you motivate and push yourself for like achieving new results and trying out new ways?
I think one thing is like trying out new things. Like I get excited if I try out something new. Like brings in something new, try it out, like a new tool, like trying out Houdini or something. Like that's something that like motivates me. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like I also have a hard time like getting motivated, like creating like personal work. It's not easy. Like especially if you work a lot.
Yeah, especially as a freelancer, right?
Yeah,
like really long days sometime, and yeah. So what, like, do you see something in real life, and then you say to yourself, "I want to create that in digital form." Like, what is your go to?
Yeah, I mean, it used to be like that. Like, I would walk past something, I would take a photo, and then. But we like, oh, this looks really cool. Like you walk around and then you see something cool outside and then you would create it in 3D. I think recently it's more like the one, like trying out a new software and then like seeing what I can do with it. I think that's
that's cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's the right way, I would say. And you need to, What I experienced, you don't need to make yourself too much pressure when it comes to stuff like that. And because remember why you started, I always tell myself that. And it's not just for the sake of it, push materials or props out in your private portfolio and do.
Yeah.
I think you always need to be a bit settled. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like in the beginning, you for sure have to like when you just start out, you have to crank out some material for your portfolio.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But then if you work for a while, you should like more focus on like learning new things, do something that's fun.
Absolutely. And then it, yeah, learning new things is fun for us as an artist, right?
Yeah.
That's what we do. Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to tell the world, Morin?
Not really. I don't know.
So how did you... what was your go-to from being an environment artist to then jumping onto textures? Like, did you work on your free time and you always have been interested into textures or materials? So what is your... Yeah. How did that happen?
Yeah, so it was kind of stupid because when I started out, I thought like, there's more environment art roles, so I'll get into environment art. And I kind of also enjoyed it. So I did environment art, like just like the normal things. And then I think like during that time, like Substance got the hype, like Painter. Mm-hmm. And I tried out Substance Painter and I was like, wow, that's so amazing. Like, you just apply a smart material and then it looks so realistic already.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of intimidated by designer first. And I think I didn't really get into it after, like, it took me like a year or something, I think, to like get into designer. And yeah, I just watched a bunch of tutorials and then like, I started enjoying it so much.
Yeah. And then you just got yourself into, right?
Yeah, like...
And adapting and trying out stuff?
Yeah, like, I just watched a bunch of tutorials. Like, back then, I think there wasn't really that much out there. There was, like... His name, like, Sharpstance. I think that's the one. Like, he was on YouTube. He used to do, like, Substance Designer tutorials. I think I watched, like, all of his tutorials. And then it's just like, I just created a lot. Like, I think I have like probably like 100 that like of materials that look really ugly that I never really published. So yeah, just doing a lot will make you better.
Yeah. Yeah. J.R. O'Toole's what I remember. He was like the
monster. Yeah.
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 he has lots of tutorials and Substance materials.
Yeah, I think I bought like 3 or 4. Like, I think it was just graphs back then. Like, I think Riz Hodgson or something. And Daniel Feiger. Is it, I think that's how it's pronounced, not sure. Like, I just bought a bunch of tutorials and then I just like went through them.
Nice. Yeah. So, did you experience doing materials and textures for games and doing materials? Yeah, that's what you did. But what is like the difference between creating textures and materials for games and creating textures and materials for product visualization? Like, maybe you can speak about that a bit, because that's what I'm interested in.
I think for like for games, it's like it's still the major thing is like having consistency like in between the materials. Like, you constantly look how it looks in game engine. Like, it has to be like a certain size. It's supposed to be like match the texture density, those sort of things. And it's, I mean, it's usually like, it can't be like stylized or like hyper realistic or whatever. And then for the product visualization, it's more like the focus is on like getting the most amount of details out of like just like one texture.
Yeah. And for the product visualization, you just focus on like being being as perfect as possible, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, for product visualization, you like, it's similar to Polygon also. Like, they, you try to get like a almost one-to-one match, and then if it's like game art, you like, it's usually like, it has to be like, I guess, more room for interpretation. Like, there's like a little bit more creativity, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. That was a great chat. Thank you so much for being my guest on the show. I will put your all your ArtStation and LinkedIn, or maybe Design Sushi, into the info box. And thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Nice to meet you. Bye. Bye.